I'm Noelle King here with Todd Zwillick. We're in for John Hockenberry all this week. In Afghanistan, coalition forces are increasingly under attack, not just by Taliban insurgents, but by Afghan police who are supposed to be working alongside them. The latest attack came yesterday when two Afghan policemen turned their weapons on U.S. troops in Kandahar province, killing an American soldier. Since the beginning of this year alone, there have been at least 30 such attacks, resulting in about 40 deaths. General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is meeting with senior officials in Afghanistan today. He'll be discussing new NATO measures to keep troops safe. Joining us to discuss those measures is Fotini Christia. She's an assistant professor of political science at MIT and an expert on Afghanistan. Fotini, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Fotini, the first thing you'd assume is that these attacks are being carried out by members of the Taliban who have infiltrated the Afghan police force. But the Pentagon says that's not the case. This is a case of Afghan police turning, in many cases, just turning on their NATO trainers. What's going on here?
No, you're absolutely right. It's actually interesting to note that only somewhere between 10 to 15% of those attacks can be attributed to actual Taliban infiltration. A lot of the ones that have been perpetrated among those 30 that you mentioned already are linked to personal grudges, basically Afghan police officers getting upset at their trainers and turning their guns on them.
What kinds of things are they getting upset about? We hear a lot about cultural differences, but very little is being said in terms of specifics. What do you think is causing some of these violent attacks?
Basically, people claim that they get offended by things that the trainers do, and it has to do with kind of lifestyle choices and how people spend time on the bases and kind of cultural differences that are also have to do with religion and interaction with other officers or Afghan and non-Afghan, etc. So what's interesting, though, is that they do not talk about these, but rather choose to turn their guns on the trainers.
Fotini, Todd Zwillick here. You say this is really not an issue of Taliban infiltration, but more personal grudges or offense. If that's the case, why the trend? Why hasn't this been a consistent problem throughout the 10-year or so confrontation? And is one incident feeding off the next incident? Why the trend here if it's personal?
What's really interesting is that there's absolutely a trend, but it also has to do with the fact that there's a lot more emphasis now on military training of Afghans because it's linked to our withdrawal. So there's a lot more interaction between trainers and Afghans at this stage than there was earlier. And of course, these incidents are, there's definitely a trend. At the same time, we have been training roughly 500,000 police and army. So there's a lot of people we've been training, and these incidents, unfortunate as they are, there have been like 30 of them. What's interesting, as you said, is the trend, the fact that they're happening. Like in these past few days, there's one incident after another. And what's interesting also, it's not just officers, it's not just Afghan police officers, it's also insiders training that are in the bases. Like, for instance, one of the attacks was perpetrated by a child serving tea that basically took a gun and just killed three people, three Americans.
Fotini, NATO's response has been swift and strong. They say that now all service members are required to carry loaded magazines in their weapons in the event of an attack. There's also something called the Guardian Angel Program. Whenever U.S. and Afghan troops go on patrol together, some of the U.S. troops, one or two, or the NATO troops, are trained to watch the Afghans and make sure that they are not poised to attack. What does this say about the level of trust? What do you think the Afghan response is going to be to this idea that Afghan police can't be trusted by NATO troops?
I know, it's really difficult to deal with this issue exactly because you expect there has to be a level of trust and cooperation to be able to train the Afghans. And at the same time, by signaling that you are taking these extra measures, you're suggesting that you do not trust them. Then the good thing about the Guardian Angel program is at least people won't know who are the Americans that are serving as the angels in each patrol. Mm-hmm. So at least it's kind of they're trying to keep it on the down low in a certain sense. And I think the fact that they will have a loaded magazine is not necessarily a problematic issue to begin with. But that said, it's tough. It's tough because there is atmosphere of lack of trust to begin with. So introducing extra measures is definitely not necessarily helping that component, but it will help making our men safer.
Well, clearly the reason that this is happening in one sense is that the opportunity is there. American and NATO troops are teaming up with Afghans on 9 out of 10 combat operations, so 90%. If these type of attacks do continue, could you envision NATO saying, look, we're going to cut down on how much time we spend with these guys in the field? Or is that not a practical calculation at this point?
No, I think actually everything is on the table. That would be a practical calculation as well. What will not change is our withdrawal pace. I mean, we're set to leave and we're not staying longer because things are not necessarily working out the way we had envisioned them. But if that may mean that we may have to cut down on trainers or on the type of interaction between trainers and Afghans, I think this is definitely on the table for discussion. They're not set to put these people out there at risk if we think that that's not the way to go.
But Fatini, there's the terrible catch-22. I mean, the whole point of these close interactions is to speed the glide path to withdrawal, which a lot of people think is too quick to begin with. If this forces or causes Americans to pull back from the Afghans that they're working with, I mean, you can see the catch-22 there. That makes withdrawal on the timeline that we've set that much more difficult.
No, I know. You're absolutely right. It's just that the way we're working now, especially on an election year, is kind of through backwards induction, i.e. the date of withdrawal is set, and then we'll just try to make do with whatever hits us, basically.
Fotini, do Afghan security forces have the opportunity or the chance to better vet their recruits to ensure that maybe these kind of attacks diminish?
They're absolutely trying to work on that, and that's a great point that you're making, because some of these random attacks have been, as I said, by boys serving tea or by 60-year-old men who were recruited to serve as police officers. So this is something that Dempsey is definitely going to be pressuring them on to make sure that there's better vetting in terms of who they're recruiting.
Martin Dempsey will be meeting with senior officials in Afghanistan today. That's Fotini Christia. She's an assistant professor of political science at MIT and an expert on Afghanistan. Fotini, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.